Let's turn to the book of Exodus chapter 16. Last week we talked about the bitter waters of Marah, and Israel had just gone across the Red Sea and into Canaan's land, and they, first thing that happened, they came across a place named Marah, and they were thirsty, but the water was bitter, and it took that God told Moses, you know, cut down a tree and let it fall into the waters, and when he did, the bitter waters were made sweet. And so we learn that God can take the bitter things that happen in our life and turn them into good. Amen. And you may not feel very sweet right now, but I want to tell you that God is able to take bad things and make something good come out of it. Amen. That's what he did when he saved each of us. Praise the Lord. But now they wondering not what to drink, but now they need something to eat. People are always needing something to eat, aren't they? And you're hoping I won't go past 12. Okay. I didn't promise. In Exodus chapter 16, let's notice the scriptures together. Exodus 16 and 1, and they journeyed from Elim. And all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Verse 4, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily.' Then Moses and Aaron said to the children of Israel, 'At evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us?' And Moses said, 'This shall be when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord.' Then Moses and Aaron... And then Moses spoke to Aaron, 'Say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints.'" Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today. And I pray that you'd open our heart and our understanding to the truth of Scripture. That you'd instruct each of us in your righteousness, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What do you think of when you think of bread? I don't know. Didn't take long to describe it. I had a grandma that could fix rolls. You all hear that story, don't we? You know what grandma did? She made rolls that were big enough to warm your feet by. Well, they weren't quite that big. But Israel here had just witnessed great miracles. They had just crossed the Red Sea, saw God open the Red Sea, saw the whole Egyptian army drown in the Red Sea. And there was music, there was shouting, there was dancing. They had seen the bitter waters of Marah made sweet. But now, bread, where would life be found to sustain them in this wilderness? Because the wilderness didn't offer anything. Where would the bread come from? Would it come from their imagination, from luck, from Moses, from the people? No. Only God could perform and feed a whole nation of people. We're talking probably a million people. Only God could do that. And so the people would have to learn to operate in faith. The Bible says, have faith in God. Amen. And I know that word faith has been abused in the church world, but I'm going to tell you there is a true faith in God, and there's true expectant that God will take care of his own. Praise the Lord. So bread from heaven is what we're going to deal with today. And here, real bread is spiritual and not natural bread. And here the people imagine the worst. Here they had seen these miracles. They'd seen the Red Sea departed. They saw, you know, God made the bitter water sweet. They'd seen all these things, and now they began to whine or complain. Don't you just love to hear people whine? No, you don't. And there'll be one less if I don't whine, okay? But you see, the people begin to imagine the worst, and they begin to forget what God had saved them from and delivered them out. He delivered them out of slavery. They've been in slavery 430 years in Egyptian bondage. And now all they knew was a slave mentality, but they had to learn to trust God. And God had judged all the gods of Egypt. They were not really gods at all to start with. And how in the third verse we see the people begin to think and begin to imagine things that really weren't there. Now the children of Israel said, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and we ate bread to the full." Oh, I want to tell you something, friend. When Egypt starts looking good again, you've slipped spiritually. Egypt is a type of the world, the sinful world that God judged. And so they thought, well, at least we had something to eat there. We didn't wonder where the next meal was coming from. We had plenty there. We even had, you know, we didn't just have vegetables. We had meat to eat. And, you know, we ate bread to the full. They just forgot how awful slavery was in Egypt. They didn't always have it good in Egypt. And God delivered them. Amen. And some people look back at their former life when they served God for a while and they say, well, you know, it wasn't too bad not living for God to start with. They had a lot of things to do and we could, you know, have fun. But I want to tell you, you can have fun serving God too. But they begin to look back, and spiritual life is slipping back and goes back into carnal thinking, carnal behavior, and carnal words. And it never makes any sense to backslide, because when people backslide, they usually go back to what God saved them out of to start with. And they've had to find out the hard way that it's not any better than it was before. The book of 2 Peter tells us there, it speaks about backsliding here. And he says, "For if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ," it's talking to people that were saved, "they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them." And the scripture here is very plain, down to the point, you know. I don't think somebody's honking at me. Verse 22, it says, "But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire." That is a very plain scripture that says that if you just, we got dual, two-part harmony now. But to go back to what you were is the same as these two things. A sow that's, I've never seen a clean sow, and I've never seen a dog. Yeah, I have seen that. And so we find that real bread is spiritual and not natural. And they went from singing, they had come out of Egypt, and Miriam got a tambourine, they started singing to the Lord, but it didn't take long until they went from singing and to complaining very quickly. They may have been singing "Shout to the Lord." They may have been singing their "Shouting on the Hills of Glory." But before that finished that song, they were singing "Precious Memories." That's a funeral song. And now they were whining, they were complaining. Their complaints really were against God, not Moses and not Aaron. And you see, when the blame game begins, it never ends. If you're just looking for somebody to blame, somebody is responsible for this. Oh, Moses and Aaron, you're the ones responsible. You know, you brought us out of this wilderness. The reason you brought us out here is for us to die in this wilderness, to die of thirst, to die of hunger. That's why you've done that. It's Moses and Aaron. And so they begin to blame. And, you know, the blame game never works. You take Adam and Eve, for instance, you know. Adam says, "This woman you gave me." And then Eve says, "No, it was a serpent that tempted me." No. The blame game. You read the Bible. How did that work out? They got banished from the Garden of Eden and from the Tree of Life. They lost their fellowship with God, and they were the first people that were lost without God. It severed them from the relationship with God. So it's never better to go back to what didn't work to start with. It's better to go forward and live for God. And it wouldn't have been good for Egypt, for Israel to go back to Egypt, because there's nothing there desirable. It was a land of slavery. And so their complaints really were against God, not Moses and Aaron. And it's a foolish thing to blame God. And so the place here was a wilderness. Looking out over the place, there was no way to survive. There's no water, no essentials of life, no welfare, no unemployment benefit. Man, you couldn't claim disability just because you act like you got hurt and didn't really get hurt, but you wanted to get money from the government. There was none of that. And there was no communication with government authority. What was left was only God. They would have to walk through this wilderness, and they would learn to trust God. They would learn to live by faith that whatever happens, God's going to take care of it. He's led us out this far. He's led us out of Egypt. He's led us into this wilderness, and He will provide for us. You can't expect God to provide for you when you've gone somewhere on your own, but when you're following Christ, God's going to take care of you. He'll make a way. Amen. So this taught the people dependence on God for survival. There was nothing else to believe in, only desert everywhere, nothing to eat, drink, no survival. Without God, it took God. Have you ever seen a place that just didn't seem like it very promising? I remember when I was dating what is my wife, 43 years later, if you're wondering. But I was driving into Plainview, Texas, and there's a reason why that town's named that. It describes itself. 70 miles before we get there, I could see lights over the horizon. Because you get out there, there's nothing there. You could see lights of Floridata, another town there. But yet I didn't realize we were 70 miles away. And so it didn't look out like it's very good. And yeah, I could have complained, but it wouldn't have done any good, because I was trying to impress her. But here in this wilderness, there was nothing to eat, nothing to drink, no survival without God. But they would learn to depend on God. But I want to tell you, God was enough. And was God enough? Yes, He was. Has God ever been enough for you? He's always been enough for me and you. Will He always be enough in the future? I can tell you, we serve a God that's more than enough. A God who's not lost anything. A God who's not out of anything. A God where there's no shortage of anything. A place that we serve a God who never runs out. He never runs out of grace. He never runs out of hope. Never runs out of love. He never runs out of anything you need. Praise the Lord. You may have to get to a place where you realize you need God and cry out to Him and say, "God, I need You. I need Your help. I can't handle this." I want to tell you, God's listening. He's hearing your voice. You're crying out to God. God is not turning a deaf ear. God cares about you. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope." I realize the future may not look too wonderful about everything that's going on in our world today, and our world is corrupt. Yes, it is. It's always been corrupt, and sin corrupts people, and we see things happening today that we think, how in the world did we ever get to this place? How in the world did people ever think this would work? Amen. But yet, God has promised us a future, and God has promised us a hope. Amen. We have a future in glory land. We have a future in heaven with God, a place where sin doesn't exist, where bad neighbors don't exist, a place where there is nothing but good. It's God. God's place. And there's nothing wrong there. And God has given us a future and given us a hope. Amen. And the church must learn that our provision comes from not from our own wisdom or our own intelligence. I'd hate to depend on that. But from God, our Creator. That's where provision comes from. And here in the Scriptures, God says something here that just... Verse 4 of our text here, the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not." Thank God already knew what they would do, but yet God says, I'm going to put them to the test here to see if they're going to really follow me, if they're really going to trust me. Amen. They're tempted here now to go back to Egypt to do something else, but I brought them out of Egypt, so I'm going to test them to see if they will walk in my law or not. Okay? This would prove either their faith was real or it wasn't real. And this reminds us that God may provide from resources that we're not aware of, or we never knew existed. Here God says, I'm going to rain bread from heaven. Have you ever heard the term that says only God could fix this? Yeah. They were in a place where only God could fix that. But sometimes He provides, God provides from familiar resources and sometimes from unexpected resources. God says, I'm going to send bread from heaven. They weren't expecting that. No. And it was called manna. And the word manna means, what is it? That's what it means. What is it? They see manna on the ground. What is this? Amen. But God brought it from an unusual source, from heaven. God would send bread. For 40 years He'd do that. And they would eat manna in the wilderness. And it says in Psalms 78:25, when it refers back to this, it says, for He sent them food to the full, and men ate angels' food. Okay? So this was a source they never knew existed. It come from God. It come out of heaven. It was there every morning for them to eat. And so it tells us that we got to trust what God says in His Word. Deuteronomy 6:3, so He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you to know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. And so, God is making them realize you need more than bread. You need faith. You need to trust me, and I'll take care of the bread part. Amen. Okay. Let's move on here. We find real provision for real people. These people were just as common and ordinary as you and I. If you didn't know you were common and ordinary, revelation, you are. Just like me. But God would reveal Himself as a provider, as provision in both Old and New Testament. That natural provision really comes from God. Real bread, both natural and spiritual, has a divine source, God. And several million people in this wilderness, this would take God. It would take someone greater than the Pharaoh, take somebody greater than Egypt, would take somebody greater than the last dream they had because they ate too much. It would take something greater than they could imagine. It would take God to feed these several million people as they wandered through a wilderness where there was nothing promising at all. It would take faith in God. I want to tell you something. God is sufficient for everyone. He didn't run out. His grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. You can trust Him. You can put your faith in Him. Amen. You can also know that God cares for you personally. And if you don't mind me talking about myself a little bit here, I'm going to give you an illustration that has to do with what God did for me. And this is to illustrate that God can provide. 30-something years ago, 7 or 8, I went to pastor a church in El Dorado, Texas. There is El Dorado, Texas. It's in Slicer County. It's the only town in the county. A whopping population of about 2,000. And Western Oil Company was there, and they employed people, and people worked for Western Oil. And in our congregation, there were three families in our congregation. Each of the husbands, one of them came to church. The wives of the other two came to church. But they would pay their tithes to pay the church bills. And our church was set up. I mean, there's a whopping congregation of about 10 or less. We were growing by leaps and bounds, I tell you. Done that. And so the oil field in the mid-80s stopped, and the three employees that were employed in our congregation, they lost their jobs. And so the church was set up where that the pastor got 45% of tithes and offerings. The church got 45%, the other 45% of tithes and offerings, and 10% went to missions. That was the best part, the 10% that went to missions. I remember Ricky Chris, the first missionary we had, he came there. He was called to go to Germany. And he came there, and I thought, he's going to come here and preach to us, and he's not going to get an offering big enough to buy his lunch. And so we got done with the service and came, and the offering was about $100. And I said, I'm sorry, brother, we can't give you any more. And then he looked at it. After looking at our congregation, he said, that's fantastic. Still a missionary today. That church is still going today, and it still supports missions. Praise the Lord. But there was a couple of people there, and there was a man and his wife. We'll just say their name were Tom and Pat, because that was their name. And he had worked at the phone company, and he was good, and he was retiring, and they made good money, and they paid their tithes, but he retired, and but for some reason or other, they moved to Oregon. They wouldn't move there today. But they had made good money, and he retired. And here our church is lacking anyway. And I'm not too good to work. I did work. Secular job besides pastoring. It's okay. Didn't hurt anything. Helped me, as a matter of fact. And so they moved to Oregon, and I thought, Lord, help us. I did more than think. I said, Lord, please help us. And they sent their tithes off of his retirement money to us for several months there, and probably a year. You know, God provided. And they used an excuse that I don't like. They said, we just can't find a church up here that's any good. My friend, there's churches everywhere. You look in Quitman, you look in Wood County, there's churches on every corner, there's churches everywhere. Don't tell me you can't find a church that's good enough. I hope you found one this morning. Hope we're good enough. But you see, God made a way in the wilderness. And God made a way for Israel in the wilderness. And God always makes a way. And God always provides, no matter what. Hallelujah. And you see, that's the resource here was something was unexpected. A resource that we never knew existed. But God knew it existed. He made it exist. Praise the Lord. God made a way. But that same God delivered, who delivered could also provide. And what God starts, God always finishes. Let me probe a little deeper here. Wives, how many of you have got something you wish your husband would do around the house and just never seems to get to it? Amen. Does that work both ways? It better. Amen. If I took a vote right now, I'd get voted out. No, but what God starts, God always finishes. In redemption, Jesus finished on the cross. God revealed himself to Abraham as Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will see and the Lord will provide. You know how that God told Abraham, said, I want you to take Isaac, your only son. I want you to go to the land of Moriah, and I want you to offer him up on one of the mountains there as a burnt offering. And we know that Abraham did not cease in a second. He took Isaac, his only son, the fire and the wood, and went to Moriah to sacrifice his son. And before he plunged the knife into the heart of his son, God stopped him and said, now I know, Abraham, that you'll serve me. And there was a ram caught in the thicket, and Abraham took the ram and offered it up in the place of his son. But I want to tell you something, friend, that is just a picture of Calvary, because God offered up his only son There was nothing. There was no ram caught in the thing that could take his place. Because you see, the Son of God was offered on our place. He shed his blood on Calvary's tree. And God, and when he died, said his last words, some of the last words of Jesus were, "It is finished." It didn't mean that his suffering was over and he was glad the suffering was over. He meant that the plan of redemption was complete. And now that you and I this morning could be saved and be on our way to heaven instead of hell. Praise God. And so God finishes what he starts. And the believer, he does this for us. Philippians 1:6, we can be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will see it to completion to the day of Jesus Christ. If God has begun a good work in you, then my friend, you keep living for God. You stay with it. Amen. It doesn't mean that God's going to make you go to heaven if you turn away from him, but it means that he's got a plan for you. God never saved you for you to quit. God never saved you to say, serve me for 5 years. God never saved you to say, serve me until you run out of this or that. No, God says, you saved me. I saved you. You walk with me. You live for me. You serve me. Amen. And if he said that, I will complete what I started in you. You'll be in heaven with me one day. God has eternal plans for you. God has a place in his eternity for you. You walk with God. Don't turn away. Don't turn back. Don't go. Don't be like the dog that returned. Don't be like the sow that returned to her wallowing in the mud. There's nothing there. You live for God. You serve God. You keep on walking with God. Amen. And so, we're Christians today. We're saved. You say, well, how does salvation work? I said, we're saved. We're being saved, and we will be saved, if we can put it that way. We are saved not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and doing of the Holy Spirit is a work of God. God gave it to us. By our grace you're saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's Ephesians 2:8-9 or 10 or something like that. Well, it's not something like that. That's what it is. And so we are saved by the grace of God, not by works of righteousness which you have done, but of his work on the cross, his blood that was shed. He went there. He didn't stop short. He didn't say, I just want to save a few. No, he shed his blood for the whole world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, not few forever, but whosoever, believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we're saved and we're being saved from the things that threaten us each day. The Bible says, 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. That blood keeps on cleansing. You're being saved. Amen. You're being delivered from this world. It's a process. Praise the Lord. And then we will be saved completely when we stand before God. 1 Peter 1:8-9 says, whom having not seen you love, though you knew not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So we're saved, being saved, we'll be completely saved. Be with Jesus forever. Amen. Praise God. And so God would provide for Israel. He kept on providing. He didn't stop providing. He didn't change. Amen. People change. God doesn't. And this is promise we must believe in verse 4 there. I'll bring rain bread from heaven. This was supernatural provision. And God promises you, the church also. Philippians 4:19, and but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He never runs out and never runs low. 40 years every day, manna every day. This would happen daily. And God challenges us to serve him daily. And we must believe God daily for our needs as well. We must see his faithfulness as a daily provision for us. We must daily depend on his forgiveness, daily fellowship, daily prayer, daily speaking to us from his word. Just serve God. Pick up your cross and follow him. If God can provide manna in the wilderness, God can provide whatever you need today. He's not stopped and he's not run short. Praise God.